Before 1988, Kenneth Branagh was known to American audiences as a pleasant, nondescript British actor who showed up now and then in pleasant, nondescript British films. But then he directed and starred in his version of Shakespeare's Henry V, and suddenly he was an international star. Since then, he's directed another Shakespeare film, Much Ado About Nothing, as well as Dead Again and Peter's Friends. And now he's tackled one of the great horror classics. Film critic Stephen Schiff reviews Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Even Kenneth Branagh's Shakespeare movies, which I've liked a lot, have a certain problem that his other movies, which I don't like at all, suffer from. Too much energy. I'm not talking about real energy, the kind that actors and directors earn through intensity and close observation. I'm talking about the way, in Much Ado About Nothing, for instance, everybody was always frantically dancing and singing and grinning from ear to ear. I'm talking about the way the camera whirled and careened for no good reason throughout Dead Again. And I'm talking about almost every scene in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. As young Victor Frankenstein, the mad scientist-to-be, Branagh himself storms through the streets of small German towns like a crusading young lawyer seeking justice. Whenever the camera catches sight of Helena Bonham Carter as his fiancée, it starts swooning and spinning deliriously. If someone arrives at the Frankenstein mansion, he can't be met by, say, a nice hunchback named Igor. No, the entire happy household has to come scampering out to greet him while the music soars. Most of the scenes in this movie are either overcome by the jitters or swollen with grandiose speechifying, and some of them combine the two. Take this scene, for instance, in which Branagh's Frankenstein is bickering with his medical school buddy Henry, played by Tom Hulce. Frankenstein has gotten hold of the journals of the late Dr. Waldman, who shortly before his death came very near to recreating life in the lab.
I've got the raw materials. I've got Waldman's journals. Together we know more than Krebs' whole staff.
You stole Waldman's journals.
We owe it to him to complete this work. He was one step away.
He never wanted this.
He couldn't face it. There's a difference.
Even if it were possible, and even if you had the right, which you don't, to make this decision for us, can you imagine for one second that there wouldn't be a terrible price to pay?
I think for the chance to defeat death and disease, to let everyone on this earth have the chance of life, sustained, healthy life, to allow people who love each other to be together forever. For all of that, I think it's a risk worth taking.
Well, you know the rest of the story. Frankenstein makes his monster, and it's one of the movie's best scenes, one of the only places in which Branagh's hysterical, gooey style seems appropriate to what he's showing us. But the rest of the film feels strangely hollow. The monster's played by Robert De Niro, and he really is a sight to see, with skin like the skin of a baked potato and stitches everywhere. Since Frankenstein has given him the late Dr. Waldman's brain, the monster can read scientific literature and carry on intelligent discourse. But Branagh never gets anywhere near the kind of filmmaking conviction that would make this stuff plausible. I don't mind that the movie isn't scary. I do wish that Branagh had made his Dr. Frankenstein an intriguingly haunted soul instead of this beaming, ruddy schoolboy who just wants to make the world a nicer place to live. Kenneth Branagh's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein has plenty of blood and guts and goo. What it doesn't have and badly needs is real darkness.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.